Turn your Bibles to the book of Romans. The book of Romans in chapter 8. We're going to focus on one verse today. We're in the fourth week of our series on knowing God in suffering. And first, we went all the way back to the beginning, and really, even before that beginning, and looked at fathoming the depths of God. Then we took a ride into the children in the wilderness and looked at facing the truth of God from the book of Deuteronomy. Then last week we talked about the difference between punishment and discipline and how God uses your circumstances like his GPS to guide you, guard you, and gift you. We talked about feeling the hand of God. And now we're going to finish up this week. And we're going to look at Romans and perhaps the most unbelievable verse in all of the Bible. But it's true. And it is believable, and it's even more powerful than you think. And if you would stand for the reading of the Word, we will read Romans 8, verse 28. And we'll call this message, Finding the Heart of God. Heavenly Father, I pray that's what happens today. That you reveal your heart to our heart. That we might see you as you are, as best we can, to your glory in your name. Amen. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And you may be seated. What is your hope? What is your hope? You might think, well, my hope is that I get this job and then I can pay these bills. Okay, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. What's your hope? If I just do this diet, this time I'll lose the right amount of weight and be able to keep it off. Not a bad thing to hope for. I hope that she says yes because I really want to marry her. And if she says no, that will be something I'm not expecting. So you have that hope. I hope that when they go into surgery, that they're able to replace this, do this, whatever, and that I will heal properly. Okay. But I'm talking about a bigger hope than that. Because eventually all those hopes run out because your life runs out. And I'm talking about your eternal hope and what you're anchoring on. And does that have an effect on how these other hopes happen or not happen and what you think about them? Now let me ask you another question. You ever heard an unbelievable claim? Take this pill, you'll lose 50 pounds and it'll never come back and you can eat cheeseburgers and milkshakes every day. I keep trying that pill and it doesn't work. I've invested in that company. It just doesn't seem to happen. You know, if you do this, she'll fall for you immediately. And it doesn't happen, you know. Unbelievable claims. Diet claims, people claims, money claims. Just do this and every person on foreclosure will give you their thing for free. And you can do this and that's why I'm telling you how to do it. Whatever. Cook this way, sing this way, do this way, buy this, do this, want that, whatever it is. We've all heard unbelievable claims, right? Like if I told you right now, over 50 years old, had a stroke, had a heart attack, that I'm, 5 foot tall, I'm going to dunk a basketball that's 50 feet high. Right now. Unbelievable claim. You don't even see the basket here, and plus, hello. But we've all heard that, right? You've heard the thing, too good to be true. It's not going to happen, no way. We've all heard that. But now what about this? And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Now we've been talking about knowing God and suffering, and there's a lot of suffering in the world. You don't even have to look in the newspaper or anything else. You just know in your own life. If it's not you right now, it's someone you know. Always something to look at. In the face of all you see in the world, in the midst of all you feel in your life, this text just stands there and makes the most audacious claim imaginable. So we try to whittle it down and say, well, it's only about this. It's only about this. This thing just stands there, and it's limitless. It's universal, and it challenges you. You've got this going. You've got that going. All things work together for good. But all things work together. I want to go into this and show you that it means what it says, and it's bigger than you even imagined. And if we do this, we'll find the heart of God. But I'm challenged by it. I've been challenged by this text for years. I've always wanted to claim that it's my favorite verse, and it is my favorite verse, and it is my hope. It sits there. But boy, I always think that I can mess it up, or things just don't seem so good, and I can convince myself, well, it's working towards good, but what about other people's choices? What about all these things? What about my cancer? What about this? What about that? Now, yesterday when I was home, I was looking for a little placard that my mom gave me when I was about 8 years old, and had a little boy on a bike, one of those banana seat bikes. Remember those? Some of you do. And he's just kind of hanging out there, and he kind of even looks like me a little bit, which meant gorgeous and all that. So I was the prettiest baby. That's just it. But anyway, what happened? I don't know. But all things work together for good. But on it, it has a yellow writing, all things work together for good. And I always looked at that and thought about that, and I was the kind of kid that would think about things, and I was like, you know, okay, I believe it. I believe it because God said it. I believe it. That settles it. It's really God said it that settles it. But, you know, you see it, and there's times when you're thinking, yeah, this is good, you know, because she said yes, or I made the team, or I got an A, or I didn't get a whipping, or whatever it might be. But then there's other times you're like, this can't be for my good. I'm the one that did the bad. How can that be for my good? And we think about this. Someone else did this to me and tried to hurt me or hurt someone I love. How can that be for my good? And I don't want, in this series, we have not backed away from these questions at all. Why was there even a tree in the garden in the first place? Why did God allow Satan to be? If there's good God, how come bad things happen? How can we reconcile these things? And we haven't shied away from that. But this word here, see, we've gotten to this place. You don't just take this word and just throw it on people. You got to back up and look at the bigger context and feel it and scale this thing and get there. And that's where we are today. But even looking at it now, after all we've gone through, this word seems too high, too mighty, too impossible. And yet this word, when you understand it, when it gets down in your soul, it can come down in the depths of your soul and rescue your weary heart. Because it reveals the very heart of God. This word has the power to overcome all of the negative noise you will ever hear. But you don't just wear it like a bandage, you know, or you know, wear it like an amulet, or just whip it out when you need it and all that. You've got to understand this a little more fully. And that's what we've been trying to do to get to this point. This colossal, this all-encompassing statement is about the heart of God and His love for the believer. If you're going to know the true depth of this verse, you need to see it as big, yet intimate, as sweeping and complete as it actually is. That's why we've taken three messages to get to this point. Because really, when it comes down to it and you're suffering, it is this verse. It is what you use. But you don't use it like a blunt instrument. You have to have your heart exposed and let God feel in there and catch His heart. There's a lot of Bible context to this incredible verse. And I got to tell you, the context of surrounding it in chapter 8, this great chapter of Romans, one of the great chapters, if not the greatest chapter in the Bible, is about suffering. So, where have we been? In our first message, we saw the big picture of suffering in the universe itself and how nothing is going to be able to stop the redemptive plan of God. We've got to look big in this world against the backdrop of evil, sin, injustice. God's actually showing you how good He is and how much He loves you by overcoming the bad, no matter how bad it is. Now, that's the big picture, big picture. What about me? But you've got to understand that first. If God can't make that big thing happen, He's not going to make your little thing happen because there's too much other things going on. How can He do that? But we saw that He is doing that. And knowing God will rescue and restore the entire universe gives you hope that He has a plan for you. The question isn't, is God good? Is, do you trust that He is good? Hear this word, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. Now listen to me. The entire goings-on of the entire universe is going to God's plan and His purpose, and it's for your ultimate good. Now watch. God isn't just working what goes on in your life for your ultimate good. He is working everything that's going on in the universe at all times, no matter who it's about, no matter how far removed it is, no matter if it's on some galaxy over there, everything is working for your good. Every single thing. But that's impossible. Nothing's impossible with God. You need to feel the depth of what's going on. But all my bad choices, and I did this yesterday, and I said, I hate God. If you are God's child, and that'll be the question we have to ask. But this whole idea, if I love God, well, I don't love him so good today. Just hold on to that. Don't get stuck there. But have you ever thought about that? When he says all things work together for good, there's no smaller context there. Because he talks about the whole creation groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. He talks about the whole creation will be redeemed. All things are working together for your good. That's how intimate, yet how big, this thing really is. Oh, I know you're thinking, I don't know. You just think that through. That was just our first message. Again, God isn't just working what goes on in your life for your ultimate good. If you're a Christian, he's working all things that happen in the entire universe for your ultimate good. This word is that big. God has got it all covered. God has got you covered. That's his heart. Now, in our second message, we got a little more personal, and we saw the big picture of what suffering does in your personal life. We saw that suffering is used by God to make you more like him. He uses suffering to expose your heart, to teach you to depend on him, and to train you in faithful living. Again, hear this word. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Yes, everything that happens in your life, whether good or bad, God is using for your ultimate good. Listen, the thing that brings you sorrow is the thing that reveals your faith. God is refining you, tempering you, molding you, and proving himself to you. It's not to punish you, it's because he loves you. This word is that intimate. God is using every detail of your life for your ultimate good. That's his heart. Now, last week, in our third message, we saw the big picture of suffering in the light of God's sovereignty and your choices and the choices of others. How does that work? We talked first about the important distinction between punishment and discipline. And we covered how God uses the consequence of your sin to guide and train you, kind of like your car's GPS. Hear this word, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Yes, God is guiding, guarding, and gifting you, even in suffering. Listen, even the free choices of other people won't escape God's plan for you. This word is that sweeping and that complete. The truth is that when Jesus allows difficulties in your life, whether they're from what you did in a consequence or what somebody else did in the consequence of that, they're always for the purpose of drawing you closer to him and making you more like him. That's his heart. You have to let God be as big as he is. He can superintend and orchestrate all these things, including our own free choices. Yes, you have creaturely free will, but you don't have autonomous free will. I can't fly just because I want to. I'm not that free. But he uses your decisions, your thoughts, everything all together. That's how powerful and incredible and unfathomable and unassailable he is. He's using all of it. If I go this way, somehow me just doing this little shimmy right here, God is using for your good. Now that's hard to fathom, but that's where we've been. That's where we are to get to this point. Now, we come to this final message in the series on suffering. God not only intends suffering as an invitation for you to know him. Again, you can just say, I already know this stuff. No, you do not. You need to go through all this again, go all the way back, slow down, and ask yourself these deep questions about why these things even are. Don't just take it as, well, you know, I have faith. I have faith in God's word and believe what he says because I've seen it, I've tested it, and I know that it's true. And in my own heart, see, when you have that narrative in you, it's going to take a lot more than just a few little sufferings to pull that out of you. And when you mess up and you're having doubts, you go back and you retrench and you replant that seed. Again, God not only intends suffering to make us more like him, to draw us to him, but he also intends suffering as an invitation to become more involved in his kingdom. Suffering advances the purposes of God in the lives of his people and his kingdom. And as you consider many of the people in the scripture, you realize their sufferings benefited the larger kingdom even more than it did their own self. See, they had these transformative experiences. And your transformative experience through suffering well can help somebody else have a transforming experience. And you can speak to that other people, and you can be that bridge. Instead of just giving them platitudes, you can say, I know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. I know it. We're talking about knowing God through suffering. Here's Paul. In verse 18, he says, I know that the sufferings of this present world aren't even worth comparing to the glory that's to come. But we think, well, yeah, but that's that. And then we say, oh, it's just so terrible now. Wait a minute. What about the presence of God now? What about this interceding for us now? What about this renewing your mind now? What about this joy unspeakable and full of glory? What about this peace that passes all understanding? What about this love that passes knowledge? These things can be part of your being filled with the Spirit now, but it comes down to finding God's heart. Now take Joseph, for example. You guys know the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis. His brother sold him into slavery, and he was taken into Egypt. He suffered terribly. He was slandered. He was imprisoned. And his very gifts that he had were used against him. But years later, he was able to feed his family during a famine because he became a high-ranking. His gift made room for him. No matter what everybody else tried to do to stop him, it didn't stop him because God had plans for him. He was able to become a high-ranking official in the Egyptian government. And when he finally met his brothers again, of course they were worried that he was going to get back to them, you know, and seek vengeance. But Joseph told his brothers not to be afraid. Remember Genesis 50:20? Remember what Joseph says? You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive. He knew God in this. All the things Joseph suffered, kidnapping, slavery, slander, imprisonment, abuse, weren't just about making him a better man. Do you hear me? This is where we're going today. They were to preserve the Israelites. He suffered so his family could survive. He suffered so they could find shelter in Egypt. He suffered so that years later they would become a nation. He suffered so that eventually they'd have their own land. He suffered so that even later Messiah would come, live, die, and rise again to fulfill God's promise of a redeemer. That's Joseph's line. He suffered so that God's people could be saved from their sins and brought into God's kingdom. In a very real way, what Joseph endured, he endured for you. He couldn't see all of that, but he could see his God and know him as he was working. He did see big. He saw huge. He saw there's going to be this people, Abraham's people, and all that. And he might have even been able to see that there was going to be a Messiah through Judah and all that stuff. But the fact is you can't always see what your suffering is helping other people to deal with. You think they're not paying attention, and they are. They may not say anything to you. They might not realize it at the time. But years later, sometimes you suffer so that others might be enriched. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, Jesus, who was rich, became poor that we might become rich. And he's not talking about money here. He's talking about spirituality. He came down and left the dignity of heaven to this earth for you. Sometimes you have to be in prison to set someone else free. Now, that's not a typical view of suffering, is it? You want to shout out, why me? You wonder how this could be for your personal benefit. How is this benefiting me? I'm losing my life here. You might even think of a verse that says Romans 8:28 and see it only in personal terms. Oops. Hear me? All things work together for good. Yes. To them that love God and are called according to His purpose. You see, the all things work together for good includes all things, all people. The kingdom of God is bigger than any individual. You are important to God and His plans, you as an individual. Amen. He cares for you, and He has an individual plan for you. But His plans for you include others. And His plans for you are intermingled within a network of plans for His people. That's how incredible He is. He's threading it all together, even taking in consideration their choices and His superintendence, and He's getting it all, this wonderful, beautiful tapestry. It's incredible. And sometimes you're going to experience things you'd rather not in order to bring goodness and light to others. Hear that? And so will they. sometimes how you deal with suffering and how you submit to God in it, that's going to speak to people in ways you might not even be able to imagine. In that way, we serve God by serving people. Think about the book of Job, how it's helped countless numbers of people learn to deal with suffering and learn to submit to God in their suffering. Job suffered terribly, not just physically, but materially, relationally, mentally. He had a lot. He lost it all, basically, very quickly. He didn't understand why. His wife said, just give up on God. His friends tried to offer what they thought were God-based reasons, but none of that really seemed right. None of it satisfied Job. It actually brought him more suffering, because here he was suffering. He didn't know why he was suffering, and people were pouring it on as if he deserved to suffer. Well, if you didn't do this, if you did do that, and you know, people do that, oh my goodness. You're suffering, and they just want to say, you just Romans 8:28, you know, come on. Get with it. Move on. Or, well, if you wouldn't have done that, well, I did do that, now what? And they just want to leave you alone. That's not tough love, that's just tough luck. So think about Job. Think about where he was. Not just that he suffered, now everybody's coming to him and saying, you suffered because you stink. And if it's true or not, what if it is true? Okay, and what ifs? Well, if you wouldn't have done this, you wouldn't have lost your job. But I did do this, and I did lose my job. Where are we going to help those people? Just kick them out and go somewhere else? Right? So Job continued to cry out. Why? It's 40 chapters long. Right? And finally, God answered Job's cry. This is complex. You have to go back to the beginning. Go all the way back. Why is there even a garden? Why was there a tree? Why was Satan? Come on. Couldn't God have just done this? Go all the way back. Go all the way back to these messages. Get yourself involved in this. See, God has a big plan for the universe. He has a big plan for your suffering. He has a big plan that takes considering your plans. And then you get to Romans 8:28. God finally answered Job's cry. He came down and he talked to Job. But he didn't answer Job's questions by explaining himself, but by revealing himself. Job was looking for God, and God came to him. And this revelation has brought comfort and wisdom to centuries of suffering people. Job couldn't have realized how important this really was for people down through the ages. But he did have a glimpse of it. And as he got to know God in it, he had an idea of a final redemption. And he knew that his suffering would not be in vain. And in a moment of knowing God, God inspired him to write these words, are found in Job 19. He said, oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Of course, we're hearing it now going, they were. Oh, that with an iron pen and lead they were engraved in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart fades within me. How true those words were. You may not realize all that your suffering is doing to help others, or how it's helping your own soul, but you can rest assured that it is. And that as you suffer well, you advance your own soul and you advance the kingdom of God. You serve by suffering well. And only by knowing God can you truly do that. As we said at the very beginning of this series, suffering can cause you to go very deep in your thoughts and amongst your toughest, most basic questions about existence itself. God can reveal himself to be the answer. The answer to suffering is God's heart and knowing God. A revelation of God is what you need to know when you're suffering, and that is the truth. When a little baby skins its knee, where's it going? Mommy. Mommy, it hurts, but mommy. Mommy, that helps. Mommy, that doesn't. Our little sweet pea, she's 10 years old, Aaron, and she came in just crying like fire because she was up on a tree and she slid down the tree and pictures of her whole belly is all scratched up, and she had this terrible-looking face, and of course I'm thinking, how fast can I drive 1,200 miles? I don't know, you know, and you just want, and she's like, Mom, 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 and of course Mom reaches out to her mother, you know, my wife, and we're praying and all of that, and you ache and all this, but you're not going to say you never climb up a tree again. That's just what happens, right? We're glad she's a little girl that she, you know, gets involved in things like that. And then this morning the news comes in and, well, she's a little bit burnt here and there, but she's feeling much better and, you know, she's got mommy love. So you got Papa love and Grandma love too. But that's what you do. You're looking for someone that can hold you in their arms, right? If you guys fired me today and I'd go home and I'd cry to Margie and, you know, I'd just put my head on her shoulder and she'd kiss me and say, "Ah, oh, those people don't know what they're doing anyway." Or whatever it is. You know what I'm saying. These moments don't go away. God isn't doing that. He's showing you that through all this stuff, you can still see his heart. And that's when you know, when he's been in there in the trenches with you, that's who you can trust. And that's who you treasure. Because you know, in the end, he's working it all out. He's using it for your good now. Even when other people make stupid decisions, you make stupid decisions, he's still working it out. And nothing is going to stop his plan. And all things are working together for good. All things. It's amazing. Suffering shatters the illusion that you have the power to control your own life. It reveals that you don't have the strength and the competence to rule your own life apart from God. Do we know that? Do you know that? Do you have to be reminded again and again? Hello, I do. I do. Oh, you're so great. No, I'm not. I'm JD. Right? And I suffer. He's going to wipe away every tear when I get up there because I'm going to be crying like a baby thing. Thank God, finally. You know? That's magnified when you see the suffering of your loved ones. When your children, your siblings, your parents, you know, people in the church, they're suffering and you can't get any relief and they're like, "Mommy, Mommy, it hurts," and there's nothing you can do it. I remember I had Mandy with me when I went and got him for Christmas in 2010, and Sweet Pea was only 3 then. And she had a terrible rash, you know, down there. And she's like, "Mommy, Mommy, Mommy." She goes, "What, baby? It hurts. I'm sorry." You know, I cried all the way down 19 on the way home. I didn't know what to do, you know. But she's not crying anymore. Well, actually, she probably is this morning, but you know. But she knows Mommy was there. She knows this won't last. She knows the situation. This happens. That little girl is not going to be afraid to get up in another tree. She's going to have the little boots or whatever. She's going to find out what to do. And she's going to learn. Suffering is also a very strong reminder that God's kingdom does not find its source in this world. When life doesn't go well, it reminds you this earth is not paradise. Suffering helps you consider yourself as a stranger, an exile on this earth, waiting for a better home. God paves a winding path to glory. If you're following Christ, the path you're on contains troubles. It also contains treasures you would not have found anywhere else. Practically speaking, when you're suffering and you feel resentment towards those who aren't, or when you resent others for having something you don't have, having it easier, having this, having a way to get out of this that you don't have and you think you deserve, etc., your feelings are rooted in some form of unbelief towards God. You're either believing he's not good. If he was truly good, he wouldn't deny me what I want. Or he's not in control. If he was truly sovereign, he could have prevented this or given me what I think I need. Or he's not trustworthy. This can't be what's best for me. This constant pain cannot be what's best for me. But it got to be, again, remember, best for everybody. When I see you suffering well, it helps me help others. And I'm there with you. I try to be. And if I'm not, tell me. The battle begins at the level of your mind. Both the inner narrative you live by and the daily struggles with ideas and thoughts. You've got to get that narrative down your soul. All things are working together for good because I am called according to God's purpose. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I love God. I may not love him as well or as I could, should, or would, but I know this, that everything he is doing, allowing to be done, even my stupidity or someone else's sin against me, it is working out to my ultimate good. You got to renew your mind around that biblical view of suffering. You have to preach it to yourself. You got to preach it to yourself. Okay, this is happening. I don't trust this. I don't know what's going on here. I'm suspicious of that. I can't figure this out, this, that, and the thing. All things work together for good. Doesn't mean there's not consequences. Doesn't mean there's not pain. Doesn't mean bad things don't happen. Doesn't mean there's not hate in the world. It means that all things work together for good. See, that's bigger than you can imagine. That's more hope than you could possibly hold on to. And here's the thing, even when you're not faithful to it, he's faithful to you. See, that's the beautiful thing. The devil tries to come talk to you about your past, and God wants you to live in the past. Not your past failures, but his past faithfulness as your present and future hope.
Yes. Yes.
Who has God proven himself to? Anybody in here? Anybody? Yes, he has. Doesn't mean every time he saw me not being so happy. Yeah, it happens. He's not saying, and suffering happens, so Job shouldn't have ever cried. Wrong. Sometimes you got to cry. If a loved one dies, you cry. Don't not cry. This is not stiff upper lip. This is real hope. You got to take those errant thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. Right? Oh, everything else says this, and I just don't, this, that, and the other thing. But I know! You can say whatever you want about me. I know that all things are working together for my good and for those that love God according to his purpose. Friends, if you want to grow in God, you're going to have to know God in suffering. When bad things happen to you and those you love, it's an invitation from God. And this, we've discovered, is his threefold invitation: to know him, to be like him, and to serve him. That's not everything that could be said. That's not everything you're going to discover as you personally accept God's gracious invitation. My prayer is that in the midst of your suffering, you'll do just that. If you do, you're going to find that he loves you more than you could possibly even know. And you can know him more than you could have ever imagined. That's what he wants for you. That's his heart. You're thinking, I'm confused by all this. No doubt. You've got to get in with God and stay there over and over and over again, then help other people do it, then realize the scope of this thing. You begin to preach this to yourself until you start to believe it, then you start to back up and get all this evidence in your heart again and build a strong foundation in understanding God, knowing God through suffering. So let's go back to that original question. What is your hope? I hope that you find your hope in his heart. You know, you look at this great chapter, and you look at verse 1. It doesn't say there's not going to be any consequences for your sin, or consequences because others sin against you. It says there's now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. You look at the end of the chapter. It doesn't say that you're not going to see hate in the world or feel hate in your own world. It says that nothing can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. And here in verse 28, it doesn't say nothing bad is going to happen. It says all things work together for good no matter what bad happens. That's his power. Remember, that's what he showed in the universe. By allowing the sin and evil and injustice and all that, he shows through that black backdrop just how much he loves you, that his good can overcome any amount of bad. You start seeing it in your life, even when you mess up like the children of Israel, wander around the wilderness for 40 years, he's still using it to bring you to him. And you start seeing it in the big picture, in your own picture, then you can see it out through yourself. And you can say, I know. Then you can bring that word with conviction. And you can bring them back and let people go through that process and know God through suffering. There's going to be consequences, but there's no condemnation. There's going to be hate, but you can't lose God's love. There's going to be bad things, but all things work together for good. But if you don't love God, if you're not in Christ, it's the opposite. Nothing is working together for your good, not your ultimate good. It's sending you to hell. All this wonderful stuff that happens to you, and you fly on in and you split hell wide open. Oh, this verse is saying that. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So if you don't love God, if you're not in Christ, it is not working to your good. It is working to your doom. Period. You've got to understand that truth. You've got to know that truth. That is the truth. It's not, you're either in or you're out. We're talking about your destiny here. But here's the beautiful thing. And here's the incredible thing about God, even in that, and the hope you can give to other people. You can turn that thing right around in a moment. Then all that stuff that was bad actually turns around to be good. Not that it's good in there, but it turns around because it's what brought you to Him. Isn't that how you came to Him? You saw, my life is over. My destiny is down. There's nothing I can do. And He says, boom. And everything that was going against you now goes for you. Now think about that. Nobody even claims that. Not even these products can't even do that. You're going to lose weight if you do that. They don't even do that. Right? I'm going to cut off my legs and grow 5 inches taller. You know what I'm saying? Everything that was bad can turn into everything that winds up working for your good. Now, what is bigger than that? And you can just say that, and people don't understand that. You've got to bring yourself to that point and understand it yourself. Then you can bring other people to that. Then you can be that bridge. That's what God should want. You need to find the heart of God and bring the heart of God to people so that they can see the heart of God for themselves and know it, and on and on and on it goes. And this is how it happens. We're not having a God, if you just do this, then you'll be rich. You know, that's what God wants. A bunch of little rich people over here. No. He wants people in every station of life doing well, not doing so well. Because every station, whether you're tall, you're short, you're fat, you're white, you're black, money, no money, every single person suffers. That's the common thread. But only God's people can get that suffering out of it and show God's triumph and victory over their own soul and over the whole universe. And that's the God we're serving. It's not, I'm going up against some little leaguer and I can hit a home run every time because he's 5 years old and I'm 51 years old. This is me going up against the greatest pitchers of all time or whatever, and I'm an inch tall and I don't have a bat, and yet somehow I can get a home run every time. You think that's impossible? Exactly. God puts us in a situation that nothing else can happen except God. If you love God, if you believe God, you can understand this and understand God through suffering. It doesn't make the pain go away. It makes the pain transformative. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And here is the hardest lesson, but the most basic thing about the power of God. And the power of God is His heart. And that's what you need to find. And that's what I hope you find. Father, all like sheep have gone astray. Everyone turned aside to his own way. And you laid on the Lord Jesus Christ the iniquity of us all. And you say that in Christ there is no condemnation. In Christ we cannot be separated from the love you have for us. In Christ we are predestined to be conformed to His image, and all things work together for good because we've been called according to His purpose. Lord, I pray that this message would resonate in the hearts of your children and cause others to be born again to be your children. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.